The following program is being brought to you on the Voice America Health and Wellness Channel. For more information about our network and to check our additional show hosts and topics of interest, please visit voiceamericahealth.com. The Voice America Talk Radio Network is the worldwide leader in live internet talk radio. Visit voiceamerica.com. The views and ideas expressed on the following program are strictly those of the hosts or guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and ideas held by the Voice America Talk Radio Network, its staff, and management. Good afternoon and welcome to Family First with five-time author and top speaker Randy Rolfe. Your family may be facing a variety of issues that you'd like addressed. No two families in the world face identical problems, but Randy has seen almost all of the difficulties families today face, and she and her expert guests have the answers that you seek. Now, here is your host, Randy Rolfe.
Hello and welcome to Family First. I'm your host, Randy Rolfe, and we have an exciting show coming up. I just want to make a couple of announcements. One is latest count for our listenership is $47,000 listeners in a month. And thank you for listening. And tell your friends if you feel that's a valuable show to listen to. And we'd love to hear from you. If you'd like to go to my website, randyrolfe.com. That's RANDYROLFE.com. And just email me and let me know that you'd like to comment or get my free newsletter from the Institute for Creative Solutions that comes out once a week and tells you what's coming up on the radio show and also has items about nutrition and parenting and other things affecting family, sometimes news items that we're hearing about. And if you want to call into the radio show, it's 866-472-5792. So now I want to introduce you to my fabulous guest. We're going to be talking about effective family health management and how to deal with things that don't always get the proper attention they deserve in your physician's office, like depression, anxiety, fatigue, sleeplessness. How many times have you or someone in your family gone to the doctor and been unsatisfied with the results? Typical tests ordered may be inconclusive and then you look good on paper, but you're still not comfortable or happy. You may still feel tired or anxious, you can't focus, may have joint pain, can't sleep well, or just don't feel well, and you may have been told it's all in your head. You may just wish your doctor would listen to you and get to the root cause of your problem. But your doctor may fail to see you as a whole person and may look at you more like a collection of body parts needing a different chemical for each symptom. My guest this week on Family First is Dr. Sharon Norling, an MD, recognized leader in the practice, teaching, and advocacy of integrative, preventive, and holistic health practice, applying natural, safe, whole person strategies whenever possible. She specializes in advanced testing to find the root cause of a person's health challenges. So listen to Family First this hour and see how you can manage your and your family's health more effectively. Let me tell you a little more about Dr. Norling. She's the only physician in the United States known to be nationally board certified in OBGYN and integrative medicine and medical acupuncture. She's certified also in functional medicine and first line therapy, which is the study of nutrition, supplements, and specialty testing. Dr. Norling is also a certified biofeedback specialist. She served on the faculty of the University of Minnesota Medical School for a number of years, where her passion for using effective, evidence-based natural approaches inspired her students. She later founded the Mind Body Spirit Center, a comprehensive integrative medicine center in Westlake Village, California. Dr. Norling is a highly sought-after national speaker and consultant. Her audiences range from doctors to spas and cruise ships. She's been interviewed on radio and TV, including CNN, and we're proud to have her on Family First. And recognized for her expertise, she's testified before the White House Commission on Complementary and Alternative Medicine Policy, called CAM, policy, C-A-M. Her upcoming book due out in October is titled Your Doctor is Wrong. So welcome to Family First, Dr. Sharon Norling. It's a pleasure to have you on Family First.
Well, Randy, thanks so much for having me. I'm excited about what we're going to talk about today, and I'm anticipating that this will be really helpful for your audience.
Great. Well, I want to ask you first just your personal journey. How did you become interested in more than just the conventional allopathic approach to solving health problems?
As you mentioned, I'm really trained in conventional medicine and have taught at a university medical school. But I increasingly began to be aware of not only my patients, but family and friends who weren't getting the answers that they needed for them to be in good health. And it was actually my sister-in-law, Pat, who was the person that motivated me and inspired me to be doing what I'm doing today. And she was in her 40s, had breast cancer, was living in Minnesota. I was trying to help her from California. And I ended up moving back to Minnesota. And while I was there, I was her advocate, and she would ask these questions. She had had 19 procedures for her cancer, and they had an 8-year-old daughter, and she would ask the oncologist, radiologist, and her doctors, what else can I do? What about nutrition? What about massage? What about spirituality? What else is there? And they not only did not have the answers, but they didn't even respect the question. And when Pat died, I vowed that I would do everything that I could to change that. And, of course, I was on a sharp learning curve because I really wasn't very knowledgeable in this particular field either. And so that was really my inspiration, and then developed programs and taught this field at the University of Minnesota in the medical school. Now many universities are teaching it.
Yes, that's I've heard that story before, that people really start looking to more natural approaches and the more holistic approach, like those different questions that your sister-in-law asked. Even people who are totally educated in the traditional, conventional medical world who say, well, wait a minute, my loved one needs more. And so that's a very inspiring story. So you focus on a lot of these complaints that people have that don't get holistic attention, or maybe just have a drug prescribed, like anxiety or depression. So how do you treat a patient coming with anxiety or depression? They may be overworked, overtired, their kids are driving them crazy, or they're just depressed. How do you treat those patients, Dr. Norling?
Well, Randy, I so appreciate your show because, you know, certainly being a parent, parenting is stressful. Life is stressful. And I think certainly counseling and therapy can be helpful. However, if an individual goes to their doctor, whether it's a psychiatrist, internist, or family practitioner, most often they'll just be prescribed a pharmaceutical drug for their anxiety or depression. And that could be anything from Lexapro to Zoloft to Paxil, Wellbutrin, Celexa, Prozac. I mean, there's a whole list. They all have side effects. And the bottom line is they really don't work very well. And Dr. Hedaya, who's professor of psychiatry at Georgetown University, he says the effectiveness of pharmaceutical drugs is about 50%. It helps 50% of the patients 50% of the time, with 50% of the symptoms. And obviously that's not a very good rate. But I think the key here is the individual patient needs to be tested. And neurotransmitters, those are sort of the brain chemistry that we are familiar with, serotonin and GABA, norepinephrine, they can be tested by FDA-approved labs. Now, Randy, psychiatrists are the only specialty group in medicine that does not test their own organ. They don't test neurotransmitters. I test neurotransmitters in my office, and I think that is so valuable because, first of all, you can treat the person as an individual. And when they're out of balance, you can actually use specific amino acids and nutrients that helps the body make more of that particular calming, happy hormone. Because people who have low serotonin, you know, they'll feel anxious or a little, you know, low mood or depressed. 70% will have difficulty sleeping. 70% will have some kind of pain, and that could be headaches, joint pain, muscle aches, but some kind of pain. They'll also just crave carbohydrates, mm-hmm. and they'll lack motivation. So they'll get up and they'll take care of their kids, they'll go to work, they'll do what they need to do, but they're not so excited about it that they can hardly stand not to do it. And you know, if you think back on something you just love to do, but you had to stop doing it because you had to go to bed or you had to go to work, but you couldn't wait, excuse me, to get back to doing it. And that piece is kind of missing.
Mm, yeah, I'm that way every day. I guess.
Well,
I love
you
what
can
I do.
Just talk to me later. We can help you. But seriously, even people who have low cortisol levels, they can be tested by specific labs. And those individuals have so much trouble getting up in the morning. I mean, even if they've slept 8 hours, 9 hours, 10 hours, they won't just jump out of bed. They'll kind of push that snooze alarm, and finally they get up, and they might experience fatigue or daytime sleepiness. They also might crave salt, and they might get a second wind at night. So all these neurotransmitters and hormones can be balanced so people and parents and families can be healthy, happy, and energetic.
So, yeah, what I was saying was I am like that. I love what I do, and I wake up in the morning, can't wait to get started, and I work late if I can't convince myself to go to bed. So I've been focusing on nutrition and spirit and all that for 40 years. So it definitely pays off. And I know you do that too. But I wanted to get back to something you said that checking the neurotransmitters, that there is definitely an individual profile that can relate directly to the person's symptoms. Is that right?
Exactly. And, you know, we wouldn't give insulin to a diabetic unless we knew what the blood sugars were. And
right.
we wouldn't treat cholesterol that way or thyroid. So that's why I feel so strongly about the individuals with any of the symptoms that I've described, having their neurotransmitters tested and then treated as an individual in a customized way.
I wanted to ask again about, you said that the mental health people don't test their own organ. It's not their own personal body you're talking about. They just don't do these kinds of tests on the brain when other specialists who deal with, like you said, with the thyroid or the blood cholesterol or the diabetics, they do test for what's going on in that in their organs. But you're saying the mental health professionals don't bother with that. And this is something that you are doing. Is that right?
Yes, that's correct. Generally, they'll just write a prescription. And if that might work for a while, and if that doesn't work, they'll probably increase the dose. And if that doesn't work, they will try another one. If that doesn't work, they'll add a second one. And so there isn't a systematic way of treating those people as an individual, and I think treating the average is way overrated. And the patients that I see are so appreciative because they know something's not right. They can feel it. And then once they start getting into balance, it is just such a relief to them. And they're better, you know, as an individual, and they're certainly better parents and co-workers, and it changes their life significantly, and there's no side effects with those.
And I think they would have more confidence in their own body and their own mind when they see that they can be back in balance without an aggressive drug that gives side effects. So these things can be balanced through how do you do it? Nutrition, counseling. What are some of the things you would do to rebalance the serotonin or the GABA or the norepinephrine?
Well, there are specific targeted nutrient therapies supplements mm-hmm. that work specifically with each one of those neurotransmitters. So depending on what the individual has and what their needs are in the lab shows, then I will use one of those specific, you know, amino acid products. But nutrition is also very important, and eating six small meals a day to maintain your blood sugar so you don't feel anxious from that. The other thing I'd like the audience to know is to make sure that they get their vitamin D, D as in dog, that their blood levels are checked, because low levels of vitamin D can create depression. Creates a lot of other symptoms, too, and illnesses. But your doctor, every doctor should be testing that, and the actual optimal range is 60 to 80 nanograms per deciliter. So that's good information for them to have when they go to their physician.
So is that something that if a patient asked a doctor, would you check my vitamin D levels, will the doctor probably include that then if they request it?
Well, they certainly should, and I also encourage individuals to be their own advocate, because physicians that are practicing more conventional medicine, you know, the average time spent with the patient is 10 to 15 minutes. According to the research, they're very busy. Most of them are not knowledgeable in the field that those of us who've been trained in this advanced medicine are. So those are things that wouldn't necessarily come to their mind. And so the individuals, I think really all of us need to be our own advocates. And so requesting specific panels or specific information from a doctor, I think, is totally acceptable. I think we're in charge of our bodies.
Very good. Find this fascinating that there are doctors out there that, like yourself, that are trained to test for these mood and brain chemicals that can have so much to do with how you feel, your energy level, even carbohydrate cravings or joint pain, and that these can be rebalanced. You don't necessarily have a drug for each one. There are natural protocols for different imbalances. So that's very exciting. I want to talk some more when we come back from a break. We just have a minute before the break about intestinal problems that so many people also complain about. And I think it's, again, related to the common American diet. But I want to talk to about that when we come back. But I just had one quick question. And that is, you've mentioned serotonin a couple of times. And you're saying that just having low serotonin can lead to poor sleep, pain, carb cravings, lack of motivation. And there are nutritional protocols to help with that. Is that right?
Yes, and even low serotonin will cause constipation, PMS, hot flashes. Mm-hmm. It's actually sort of related to estrogen. It's not the estrogen hormone, but they support each other. So, yes, it can be treated with specific targeted nutrient therapies. And if people are interested, or physicians or doctors are listening on the phone, you know, today, I would be happy to give them information about how they can do this testing as well and be supportive to them about that, because I feel so strongly. And they can go to my website, and that's Dr. Dr. Sharon, Sharon, Norling, Norling.com. And just, you know, sign up. Also, I'll have a newsletter, which I have on more in-depth about these topics I'm talking with you today about.
Great. And it's important to mention that, of course, you're not giving any direct personal information on our radio show, but
right.
General awareness and education. So when we come back from our break, we're going to be talking to Dr. Norling more about heartburn and intestinal problems. So stay tuned.
Be sure to friend us on Facebook. You can do it right now. Visit facebook.com/Voice America or search for us at keyword Voice America.
What if thinking just a little bit differently about your daughter could make her more respectful, a better student, or less vulnerable to peer pressure? What if a few simple changes in your words with your son could make him more responsible, a better listener, or more fun? Five-time author and dynamic speaker Randy Rolfe has answers to your questions about family matters. Whether it's your kids, parents, schools, health and diet issues, finances, or life balance, Randy can help you. The World Ambassador for Family, Randy Rolfe has been helping families since 1985 to minimize the stress and heartache of modern living. To access some great and free downloadable tools, to get one of her internationally acclaimed books, or to have her inspire and excite your next event as your featured speaker, go to www.randyrolfe.com. That's RandyRolfe.com. Your family will thank you.
Hi, I'm Neil Haley, host of the Total Education Network. We're the only education talk show that airs shows 7 days a week on different stations. Please go to my website at TotalTutor.org to learn about the exciting shows coming to the network. The show brings the total education experience. We interview interesting guests, have lively debates, and provide news and provide tips for parents. Please go to my website at TotalTutor.org for more information. Remember, the talk shop for teachers, parents, and administrators, TotalTutor.org.
Opinions, options, answers. Voice America Health and Wellness.
You're tuned in to Family First with your host, Randy Rolfe. To speak to Randy or her guests, please call 1-866-472-5792. That's 1-866-472-5792. You may also send an email to randyrolfe@randyrolfe.com. Now, back to Family First.
Welcome back. We've just taken a break in our conversation with Dr. Sharon Norling. She's a recognized leader physician in the practice, teaching and advocacy of integrative, preventive, and holistic health practice. She taught at Minnesota State University, the University of Minnesota Medical School for a number of years, and she runs the Mind Body Spirit Center, which is a comprehensive integrative medicine center in Westlake Village, California. And she specializes in special testing of some of the body chemicals that aren't always tested when people come in with complaints, and often a doctor will just give them a drug for like depression or high cholesterol or anxiety or sleeplessness. But there are ways of testing for personal profiles of the balance in the brain or in other parts of the body that can be addressed naturally, safely, without the side effects of drugs. So I'm delighted to have Dr. Sharon Norling sharing with us, and we've had a great conversation about the brain chemistry. And now I want to move on, Dr. Norling, to issues of the gastrointestinal tract, heartburn, intestinal problems, because they're so common, and people are just lapping up pharmaceutical drugs without great results. So let's talk a bit about that. How do you approach those kinds of problems?
Well, that's such a good question, because as you mentioned, GERD, heartburn, irritable bowel syndrome are such common symptoms that people have in the United States. And I don't use the pharmaceutical drugs to correct those, unless an individual has an infection. But the key, again, is finding the underlying cause of the illness. So if someone has GERD or heartburn, then what's really causing that? It's inflammation. So then the next question is, what's causing the inflammation?
Yes.
And that can be a hidden food allergy. And people think, well, you know, I don't really have any food allergies. But there's two kinds of food allergies. One is IgE. And that's more of the emergency reaction where people have difficulty breathing with shellfish, or they'll swell up with hives or rashes, and they'll say, oh, I can't eat this food because I'm allergic to it. That happens more immediately. There's another whole category of reaction in the immune system. It's called IgG, and that's hidden, and it's delayed. So sometimes people will wake up and they'll feel so anxious, or they won't feel well, they're tired, they might have more joint pains, and they think, what did I do yesterday? I can't even think today. My brain is foggy. That could be something you ate a week ago. And people don't know. It could be their favorite food. Because the symptoms that I've described, whether it's emotional, moods, physical, any of those can be attributed to a hidden food allergy. So there's one blood test. It checks for 90 different foods. And then the person knows exactly what they're allergic to. And once you stop, or the individual stops eating those foods and stops putting the fuel into the fire, and we actually use a natural anti-inflammatory at that point to help heal the GI tract, the GERD goes away. The heartburn goes away. I have never in all my years of practice had a patient that did not get rid of their GERD. The other thing that is a common symptom or trigger for heartburn is H. pylori, and that's an infection. And that can be diagnosed and, again, treated the same way, except that I will use an antibiotic for those individuals. Gluten is another huge sensitivity. And I just want to, Randy, if I have time, I just want to talk about one of my patients. And his mother brought him in, and he was almost 4 years old. He'd been sick since birth, and he was vomiting 5 times a day, diarrhea 3 times a day. He had asthma. He was all congested. He had had tubes put in his ears twice. He had 2 endoscopies, colonoscopy, and they had scheduled him for an abdominal stomach surgery when she brought him. I diagnosed he had food allergies and gluten sensitivity. The day he stopped eating those foods, he has never vomited again, had diarrhea, his asthma is gone. He was on 8 pharmaceutical drugs, this little child, when he came to me. And now he's off 7 out of 8 of those. He grew 1.5 inches in 6 weeks, and he's running around playing like a regular little boy. And he had seen a pediatrician, a pediatric allergist, and a pediatric gastroenterologist. So when my book comes out, your doctor is wrong. It is really so important to find people, physicians, who can find that root cause of the illness rather than treating it with a pharmaceutical drug or a procedure, because that would not have helped him anyway.
Right. What a dramatic story. And I know those kinds of situations are happening all the time, and parents keep searching because they just can't stand their little person being in pain and having all these symptoms, and they try all these different drugs. And what a great story that you can really get to the root of it and solve it so that they can get off these medications and not have any more problems. That's just such a great opportunity. And I'm so glad we can let parents know that this kind of help is out there. And I always say, keep searching till you get the answers you want, because if a child is hurting, there is almost always a solution, and this is very exciting. So,
and also, when the child is hurting, Randy, everybody hurts.
Right, right. The whole family. The mother's busy running to the doctor and trying to comfort the child, and it affects everybody. It affects sisters, mothers, and fathers and brothers and, the whole family. Now, I wanted to mention about gluten. People say, well, how could a food that we rely on so much, like wheat, be so disastrous? But I always try to tell people that we have done so many genetic changes to wheat since it was the bread of life in Christ's time, that the gluten is just very, very different from the way it was when we first started growing wheat. Isn't that so?
Yes, absolutely. And it's been so genetically modified. As a matter of fact, Europe won't even buy wheat from us. So yes, it's the changes in our food supplies that I think are adding to our illnesses, unfortunately. Because even people who have heartburn and they've been treated with, like, kind of treating the tip of the iceberg with an antacid, their stomach can't even digest the food because the stomach needs that acid. And the stomach also kills off bacteria, so then we end up getting infections in our GI tract. So, but the food source, as you know, with your expertise in nutrition, is really problematic because of the soil conditions today and the harvesting of fruits and vegetables, so and grains. So it is a huge problem.
Yeah, and that's one of my favorite topics, that you know, you can wipe out the acid, but then there's all kinds of other problems that come because the body's supposed to have some acid to get rid of infections and to just digest the food. So you mentioned the recent, it's fairly recent, they discovered the H. pylori, and I think that makes a lot of sense, that you can actually wipe that out if you use the antibiotic judiciously with the other approaches. Is that right?
Yes, and that's what I do in my practice. I will use a natural, evidence-based, effective approach whenever possible. But there are times where antibiotics are needed and other pharmaceutical drugs. But they're not needed very often in my practice. But when we talk about H. pylori, it is also related to the accurate diagnosis of that. And the particular stool test that I recommend my patients do if they have heartburn or any irritable bowel syndromes actually tests the DNA. And every bacteria, every parasite, every yeast has its own DNA. So if you just use a regular lab or hospital, the routine labs are accurate about 5 to 20% of the time. Mm. Whereas when you use the DNA, of course it's 99.99% of the time. And the intestinal, the gastrointestinal tract is so very, very important. It not only digests our food and absorbs the nutrients and is a process for detoxification, but it contains 80% of our immune system. So if we have an unhealthy GI tract, we're going to be much more vulnerable to other diseases and illnesses. The other thing that's very interesting, and we had talked about this earlier in the show today, Randy, mm-hmm. is that the gastrointestinal tract has as many brain cells in it as the brain.
Wow.
It has more brain cells in it than the spinal column. And we've always kind of connected the two. Like we would say, oh, when I heard that, I just got sick to my stomach. But now we know scientifically that the GI tract actually produces these neurotransmitters that we talked about before. It produces 95% of the serotonin.
Oh, that's fascinating. So that gut reaction is actually a gut reaction. That's really fascinating. I wanted to ask you about a little bit more about allergies. That you said that the tests can detect up to 90 different foods. And I've talked to parents who have been frustrated when they get a list of 30 foods that their child's allergic to, and they say, what am I going to do? What am I going to do? And I try to tell them that that's not a permanent state of affairs. And so can you address that a little bit about what do you do if you find the child is reacting to a whole lot of different foods?
Yeah. If the child is reacting to a whole bunch of different foods, then there's something else going on.
Mm.
Then there's something that's going on in the GI tract. Because there's always a question, kind of like the chicken and the egg. Do the food allergies create the inflammation in the gastrointestinal tract, or is the gastrointestinal tract inflamed, and then the individual develops those food allergies? But regardless, both areas have to be diagnosed and treated. So that's number one. Number two, there are labs, there's two ways to check food allergies. One is the IgE, which is more of an emergency, and that is done by some physicians using the skin test. That is not very helpful.
Right.
To be quite honest. It's the blood test that can check both IgE, the more, quick reacting, as well as the delayed. And depending on the specific lab that you use, it can be much more accurate. I've used labs in the past, and I'd come back, with 40, 50 allergies on them. But now I use a different lab, and it's really a much better clinical tool for me because it is difficult. But what you were saying, Randy, is if they are allergic to more than one food group, then it's really important that they stay off of that food group and then get some guidance. We actually have individuals that work with our patients on designing meals and foods for, like this little child that I was talking about. He loved macaroni and cheese, and of course he was dairy and gluten sensitive. So the person we work with is excellent, and so she got gluten-free, noodles, and then used a squash, a yellow squash, and made a sauce out of it. And he loves his new macaroni and cheese. So we work with people that can actually help design recipes for people with food allergies. But I do think that they need some additional help with a nutritionist or people knowledgeable like you in that field.
Yeah, that's great. I'm sure many people would appreciate if their doctor had someone who could, sit with them and guide them. Now, how do I feed my child so that he doesn't have these reactions? So that's great. I want to talk a little more or move on to the subject of the problem of addiction to prescription drugs. I just heard an item on the radio just the other day that it's, and then you had mentioned it to me before, that it has surpassed illegal drugs as the cause of addiction and drug deaths. Is that so?
Yes, that's true. And it is so unfortunate that that's the number one cause of drug addiction today is pharmaceutical drugs. And even from a young age, like high school, 1 out of 10 high school students report that they have used Vicodin or OxyContin, for non-medical uses. And when they're doing those surveys, I'm sure it's actually a higher percentage, but 1 out of 10 report that they do. And even with adults now, between the ages of 50 and 57, the illicit drug use has increased significantly over the last 5 years. So we're seeing it not only with the sort of street drugs, but particularly the pharmaceutical drugs.
My goodness. Yes, they were saying the story I was listening to that when they tried to limit the use of OxyContin, a whole nother evolution of drugs that are even more dangerous are just as prevalent now among these users and very addictive. And there's a whole industry, a black market in getting prescriptions and selling them on the street.
Absolutely, and I think in the treatment of addictions, I do not think it's the best practice to substitute one drug for another drug. And even with like methadone, Suboxone, those are two drugs that physicians can prescribe for people who are addicts to get them off the illicit drugs. But when addicts stop using the methadone and Suboxone, they have a 96% relapse rate. That's,
wow.
That's ridiculous. Why would you give someone a drug that's really a drug? And trying to get them off of those pharmaceutically prescribed drugs is many times equally or harder than getting them off any other illicit drugs that they've been using. And
my goodness.
Naltrexone, too, and the studies on these drugs, clinical trials have not had very large numbers in it. I know one of the companies did their research in Russia and had 250 people, you know, usually clinical trials are thousands. So I think that's a huge issue.
My goodness. Now, when we come back from the break, Dr. Norling, I want to address something that concerns so many women, and that is hormonal balance. You know, the baby boomers are going through menopause, and doctors have come up with all kinds of solutions or supposed solutions there, but there's also a natural way to do that. So stay tuned with Dr. Sharon Norling and her wisdom on taking a natural approach to rebalancing the body. Stay tuned.
Learn more. Live better. Voice America Health and Wellness.
What if thinking just a little bit differently about your daughter could make her more respectful, a better student, or less vulnerable to peer pressure? What if a few simple changes in your words with your son could make him more responsible, a better listener, or more fun? Five-time author and dynamic speaker Randy Rolfe has answers to your questions about family matters, whether it's your kids, parents, schools, health and diet issues, finances, or life balance. Randy can help you. The World Ambassador for Family, Randy Rolfe has been helping families since 1985 to minimize the stress and heartache of modern living. To access some great and free downloadable tools, to get one of her internationally acclaimed books, or to have her inspire and excite your next event as your featured speaker, go to www.randyrolfe.com. That's RandyRolfe.com. Your family will thank you.
Hi, I'm Neil Haley, host of the Total Education Network. We're the only education talk show that airs shows 7 days a week on different stations. Please go to my website at TotalTutor.org to learn about the exciting shows coming to the network. The show brings the total education experience. We interview interesting guests, have lively debates, and provide news and provide tips for parents. Please go to my website at TotalTutor.org for more information. Remember, the talk shop for teachers, parents, and administrators, TotalTutor.org.
Opinions, options, answers. You're listening to Voice America Health and Wellness.
You're tuned in to Family First with your host, Randy Rolfe. To speak to Randy or her guests, please call 1-866-472-5792. That's 1-866-472-5792. You may also send an email to randyrolfe@randyrolfe.com. Now, back to Family First.
Welcome back. We're talking about how to deal with depression, anxiety, fatigue, sleeplessness, and anything that is bothering you, indigestion, and getting too many prescriptions for too many different things. We're talking with Dr. Sharon Norling, who specializes in treating the whole person and using specialized high-tech tests to find out where a personal imbalance might be, particularly in neurotransmitters. And we've learned how they affect moods in the brain, but also digestion and how you feel in your whole body. So it's been very interesting. And also we've mentioned that prescriptions can be as dangerous and are causing as much addiction problems as illicit drugs. So now in the rest of the show, I want to talk more about hormonal balance, which is also related to neurotransmitters as well, for both men and women. So many of the baby boomers are getting into the change of life, and of course, pharmaceutical companies come up with various solutions for the symptoms. But what is the cause? Are we meant to be totally uncomfortable through our change of life, or are there natural solutions? So Dr. Norling has a new book coming out in October, Your Doctor is Wrong, because she spent many years finding out how to get to the root cause of these kinds of problems. So Dr. Norling, can we address that issue of what should it look like, that change of life, and how can we keep it in balance?
Well, thank you for asking the question. And I think for any woman, whether they've gone through PMS or the menopause, has great stories to tell. You know, they're legendary of the brain fog or some of the symptoms that they've experienced during that period of time. And so there's a lot of laughter and jokes about it. But it really, on the serious side, I think whether a woman decides to use hormone replacement therapy is very much a personal choice. And it depends on their interest in doing it. It depends on their personal medical history as well as their family history. I think that the most important thing here is for the women to have the information that they need to make the best personal choice for themselves. And July 17th, 2002, the Women's Health Initiative study came out, and it showed that, oh gosh, if you took hormones, you would end up, you know, at a higher risk for breast cancer and cardiovascular disease and a number of other things. And unfortunately, that study of 160,000 women, the design of that study was flawed. And now we know that, and now new information is coming out about it. Also in that study, they only used synthetic hormones, Prempro, which is a combination of Premarin, and Progestin, which is synthetic. But one of the problems with the study is that it included women from age 50 to 79. Well, if a 65, 70, 75, 80-year-old woman comes into my office, I don't necessarily talk to them about hormones. And most women started between age 50 and 59. But they also, in the study, excluded women with hot flashes, which to any woman who's ever had a hot flash, they have no idea why they would have excluded women with hot flashes. And then these women were also at higher risk. 50% were smokers, 35% were obese. And so the study was really flawed in its design, and it gave a lot of misinformation. So my belief is not that every woman needs to be on hormones, but that they have the right to have the right information so they can make the best personal choice for themselves.
And certainly. Yeah, that makes so much sense. I didn't realize that they used only synthetic hormones and excluded some women that were having symptoms. And certainly bio-identical hormones would have a different interaction in the body, I would think, from any synthetic compilation.
Yes, absolutely. And we have, okay, if we have an organ that is deficient in the production of hormones, we have, in medicine, replaced that for good health. For example, if the pancreas isn't producing enough insulin, we don't tell a diabetic, well, that's kind of a natural event that's happening for you. We treat that person. If a person has low thyroid, we don't say, well, you know, it's just a part of the life, you know, as you get a little older, and not treat it. We treat those. So the hormonal replacement therapy, in many physicians' opinions, is really just keeping that balance, because the sex hormones, estrogen, progesterone, testosterone in women, also work very closely and sort of dance with the thyroid and adrenals, as well as the neurotransmitters. So it's more about balancing, you know, for better health. But the bioidentical hormones, when given in a cream, there is the research that's been done on these, and there hasn't been large clinical trials, and there probably never will be with bioidenticals, and that's unfortunate. But because they're generic and there's no return on the investment, there's not going to be companies that are going to spend millions and millions of dollars to do the clinical research because there's no return on the investment. The Women's Health Initiative study was almost $1 billion cost. So, but what we do know from the trials that have been done, there is no increased risk of stroke, and there hasn't been an increased risk of breast cancer. Even in the flawed study of the Women's Health Initiative, when they looked at women between age 50 and 59 on estrogen and progesterone, there were 8 cases of breast cancer in 10,000 women. 8 cases in 10,000 women.
My goodness.
And
yes,
none of those women died. But when you heard the news and the sound bites, you think, oh, my gosh. So even physicians today are not aware of the details behind that study and the new information that's, you know, come out on it. So it's frustrating for those of us who are knowledgeable in it, because it's frustrating because I want the women to have the right information. Not that every woman should be on it, but it really, they need the right information.
So that they can make their own decisions and have the full range of options.
Exactly. And estrogen has always been shown to decrease colon cancer by 30% and to decrease osteoporosis by 30% and decrease hip fractures by 50%. So there are benefits, and when it's used earlier in healthy individuals, they have a better sense of well-being, their hot flashes go away, they have more energy, they sleep better, and their cognitive brain function works a little bit better. So that's some information, but the bioidentical creams are probably a good option for them to explore and find someone who's knowledgeable in that field.
Yeah, that sounds like a good idea. And not all women actually need it, but you can test to find out if their estrogen levels have decreased to the point where they're having symptoms. Is that right?
Well, any woman who goes through the menopause and isn't menstruating anymore, yes, we can test those hormones, but they'll be low because the ovaries aren't producing enough estrogen or progesterone. And the other piece of information I think women should be aware of is that testosterone is a female hormone. It actually is produced by the ovaries, and it's produced by the adrenal glands. And some women need replacements of testosterone when they're getting their hormonal replacement therapy.
Yeah, that we're not that different from men, that we have absolute distinctions between our hormones. Just the balance is different, right?
Right, exactly, Randy.
Now, we only have a couple more minutes, but can you mention what men have to consider as they're aging?
Yes, and men, even from age 40, should have not only their PSA tested, but should be tested for testosterone, because we all know the symptoms of low testosterone, or at least are more aware of it. I mean, we know that men begin to have muscle wasting, they can have more depression, but if their testosterone is normal levels, then they have more energy, a better sense of well-being, better libido, better erectile function, and so that's an important piece because, again, it's a hormone replacement. But what's really important is that low testosterone in men under 250 increases the risk of cancer 3.5 times. So not double or triple, but 3.5 times.
And what kind of cancer would that be?
Any kind of cancer.
Oh, really? Wow.
Yes, and it more than doubles the risk of cardiovascular disease and chest pain and angina, the chest pain. So the point is, this is for men, it's not just a mental, emotional, and physical looking hormone. It also is one that's really tied to their health and their health risks. There's a good book out by Dr. Morgan Taylor, and he's a clinical professor at Harvard in the Department of Urology, and he's written a book called Testosterone for Life. So he's got great credentials, and it's a book that if men are, or women are interested in finding out more about it, that's a good resource.
Okay, great. And we just have a couple more minutes, so let's talk about your book. It's coming out in October called Your Doctor is Wrong, or The Doctor. Your Doctor is Wrong, and that's coming out in October, and it will include a lot of more detail about these topics. Is that right?
Exactly. And there will be not only the things that I've talked about today in more depth, but it'll be referenced with mainstream medical journal articles and references, because everything that I've talked about during this hour is already in mainstream medical journals. It'll also have case studies like this little boy that I talked about, so people can relate to that. And there'll be a good dose of humor in there as well. But it's, I would also like to encourage people who would like to go to my website. And that's,
yes, what
Dr.
is that website?
Sharon Norling, drsharonorling.com. And if you sign up for my free newsletter, in there, in every newsletter, there is an article about a health topic. And it's really informative, and I think the audience would appreciate that.
For sure. I really appreciate you being a guest on Family First, and it's so informative that there are options that are not just, you know, go to your doctor, get a drug for some symptom. If you've had a chronic symptom, then there's some imbalance that can be addressed with good testing and possibly, very likely, a natural approach that rebalances the body. So any last advice, Dr. Norling, that you'd like to give in the last 20 seconds?
Okay, the 20 seconds is for mothers and fathers to really take good care of themselves. That's not pampering. That's a priority.
Oh, that's great advice. Well, thank you so much for being a guest, and thank you to all our listeners. And go to drsharonnorling.com. Also go to randyrolfe.com to comment on the show and to join my newsletter. So thanks for listening, and we're having an exciting show next week. We're going to be interviewing Lisa Oz, who specializes in building healthy family relationships. So thanks again, and thank you, Dr. Norling.
Well, and thank you, Randy, so much for having me on your show. I appreciated it.
My pleasure.
We hope you've enjoyed Family First. Please tune in to our program every Friday at 4 p.m. Eastern Time, 1 p.m. Pacific Time, to join your host, Randy Rolfe, on the Voice America Health and Wellness Channel. The weekend is here. Enjoy it with your family. And we hope to see you here next week.